90.3 867 1190 Near FM.
Now I'm just going to go over to Rebecca Lloyd from the Irish Hospice Foundation. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You're on to discuss the May Festival.
Yes, we're the Irish Hospice Foundation partnering with Ageing Opportunities for the Bealtaine Festival this year, with something you will have to excuse my Irish.
Oh well, mine as well. Yeah.
Comra Bas Coca Agus Cupón, which is boss, as I'm sure you know. There's a famous saying, Boss in Erin, that people who, after they'd moved from Ireland, would come back to Ireland either to die or to be buried, such is the Irish love for their country. So to talk about death is an interesting thing to do, and it's made a little bit nicer when we have a cup of tea and a piece of cake.
And where's this happening? Is this in...
It's in St James's Hospital in the Mercer Institute for Successful Ageing.
Right, and is it a one-day event or is it...
It's actually just a couple of hours. So it's on the 9th of May from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And people can go and book. It's a free event. People can go book on Eventbrite under Comra Bas. And they can come along and explore in a really safe way how they feel about end-of-life planning and stages. So that's what we'll try and help people with, and perhaps answer some questions that people have.
Will there be speakers, or will it be just be an informal gathering of people?
There will be facilitation, but it's more to try and engage people with what they think themselves. You know, we're the only people that die, so we need to explore that ourselves, and then there will be people, so I'll be there, and there'll be other members of the Irish Hospice Foundation, and there'll be members of the end of life team in St James's, to be able to talk to people. But it's much lighter than perhaps I'm making it sound. It's usually full of wisdom, so people from their own experiences of death, dying and bereavement can talk and share their experiences, what helped for them and what's useful, and you know, what people would like.
Would this be people who've had recent bereavements in their family and stuff, or would it be...
It's not really bereavement. It's for hale and healthy people,
you know.
To just come and, you know, for argument's sake, people do have an opinion on, say, what kind of funeral they might like.
Yes,
if you were taken ill, what we do know is even having conversations actually makes the outcome better for everybody. So it's trying to encourage people that, you know, it's really good, even though it's difficult, it's really good to have these conversations, not just for ourselves and to try and unknot our fear a little bit, but it's also really good for the people that love us. So it's not about people that have been diagnosed with an illness. It's just more for every one of us to just come and let's have a bit of a chat, and let's try and dispel some myths, or let's think about your worries and what can we do about that.
Yeah, would you advise people to speak to their own families as well?
Every time. Yeah, it's so important.
What kind of funeral they want?
If you think about it, you know, it's very easy to make decisions when they're a long way off. You know, I always think if we're in a boat in the middle of a lake and it's very clear, you can say, oh, I'll go left, I'll go right. But if you hit the rapids, your decision making becomes a bit crazy. So and that sometimes happens with people in a hospital situation, that a member of the family is admitted to a hospital and that person perhaps can't speak for themselves. If they haven't had a conversation about what they want, then the poor family are sitting there saying, we don't know what they want. Whereas if we have a super tool called Think Ahead with the Irish Hospice Foundation, which actually allows people to be able to say, if I am taken ill and I cannot speak for myself, this is what I would like. And it contains an advanced healthcare directive. And, you know, by law, we can refuse care if we want to, but we cannot demand it. So there's an awful lot that the public may not completely know. So, you know, in the Irish Hospice Foundation, we want to help them know everything that they should know, and it would be useful for them.
Yeah, times are changing, really. When you think back years ago, there was certain things were just done automatic. And I don't think that's there's such a diversity now of beliefs and feelings and everything else. I think things have changed so much that nearly everybody wants something different. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the problem is in the dim and distant times, death was all around us. You know, people died in their own homes the majority of the time, and there were ladies in the street that would go and wash the body. And, you know, for better or for worse, people were surrounded by death and could speak about it in a much more normal fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And because now we are in medical institutions, and of course we are, because, you know, we're living longer and there are so many things, you know, that we can be cured from. But what happens then is that death becomes this almost, it's going to happen to somebody else.
Do you think it's a little sanitized?
Yeah, I think it's a lot sanitized.
Because I remember as a child, when a neighbour died, believe it or not now, I remember as a child, people would knock at the door and we'd walk up the stairs and look at the neighbour in the bed.
Yeah.
That's not happening anymore.
No, and I hope you don't mind me. Like, you were traumatised by that. It was very natural and normal.
No, it probably familiarised you. Yeah, I was as young as 7 or 8 when I would walk up the stair and the, you know, neighbour would be there, and then you'd walk out and then you'd carry on with living, you know?
Exactly. And I think it's you know, none of this, I think it's brilliant, you know, what an experience that then you're not afraid of death. But I think, you know, we've become almost this death-denying society that, you know, these things happen to other people, and when they happen to us, we're hit so hard by it that we actually don't know what to do. So this is trying to prepare everybody, not just the person that's going to die, but everybody, the whole part of the family, that, look, you know, hopefully this won't happen for a really long time, but let's have a conversation and then let's get on with living. Exactly that. Let's get on with living. But let's, if there are things, and people do have opinions, you know, they have opinions about CPR, they have opinions about organ donation. So if we have those opinions, we should have a quick chat about them. And that's kind of the remit of the Irish Hospice Foundation.
I think we're unaccepting of death now. We just feel that maybe with medical, you know, we just think everything should be cured and people should go on forever nearly, you know?
I do it always, you know, death is almost punitive, you know, that people say, oh, they died because they smoked cigarettes, died because they didn't do exercise, or, you know, and the fact is people die because we're humans and we're mortal and, you know, we die. So as a society, we need to get back in touch with that.
Yeah, I know it's a morbid thing to say, but death is part of life, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, I read this wonderful, I don't even know whether it was in a film, but it stuck with me that, you know, if we didn't die, then we wouldn't have any joy in birth. You know, when we see a new baby, the joy that we feel. If we were all immortal, it would be like, oh, there's another person filling up the world. You know, so it's part of the rich tapestry of life.
Maybe life is like a good book. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Exactly. And all we're saying is one page of that book, let's read and let's do a little bit of planning. And because what the research tells us is that if after somebody's died, people can say, oh, I did what Mum wanted, I did what Dad wanted. Mm. You know, that we did all of that. And it makes the bereavement a little bit easier because, you know, you've had the conversation and you've managed the death. So it it's not quite as painful.
Well, my memory of funerals, and I hope this doesn't sound go down wrong, but my memory of funerals, eventually it became a happy occasion. People were laughing and joking and talking about things in the past and reliving the life of the person. You know, it became, well, normal, or I don't know. It wasn't a morbid situation.
No, and I think anybody, you know, should you know, I hope I don't get struck down now at this very moment, but, you know, if I did, I would want people to celebrate my life and tell the funny stories. And I think that's the thing, all of us, you know, none of us want to die, you know, but all of us would like to be remembered in some nice way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the conversation.
Yes, you know? I really think the key there is to be remembered in a nice way and hopefully as a nice person, you know, and some amusing things to say about you. It wasn't all dreary your whole life.
Yeah, there was some colour. Yeah, exactly. There was some colour in our tapestry.
Yeah. That's the way I feel about it anyway, hopefully, at the moment, you know.
But this is the thing, and the chat you and I are having is no more traumatic than the chat we'll be having in St. James's. It's just a chat. It's just a, let's come together. And like I said, there'll be a few tools, there'll be a few films, there'll be a few things to kind of warm people up, for want of a better word, that, and then people kind of go, actually, now you say that. And they bring up, you know, memories from their past, you know, like you just did. And you get this lovely, beautiful conversations of people's experiences. They're really lovely.
So it can be it can be a joyful meeting. It doesn't have to be approached as a morbid sort of thing.
You have laughter and tears every single time, but generally more laughter. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
How often do you do it? Every May, is it, or is this?
Well, this is the first time we've actually partnered with Asian Opportunity, okay. And we're delighted.
Okay.
But as an organisation, the Irish Hospice Foundation, we hold talks throughout the country in every single county.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone ever wanted us to come into their community, please contact us, and we'll try and help you out as much as we can.
Well, how does someone get in touch with you guys and book to turn up on the day? Do you have to book it?
You can go on to Eventbrite. So it's Comrabas, comrabas.eventbrite.ie.
You go onto that site and you book a place?
Yeah, if you go onto that site and book a place.
Okay, all right. Do you have I have a phone number here. Can I give that out for the contact you guys, or will we just
do? Yes.
Yeah, the number is 085-106-4808, and that's Rebecca. Is that your number?
Yep.
Okay, so
we can book them in.
Yeah, if somebody is not, there's a lot of people out there who are still not great on the old computer, and they could ring that number and get the information person to person.
Absolutely, no problem at all.
Well, maybe we'll go down, some people will go down that route.
Yep.
Okay, I think, have we covered everything?
I think so. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Delighted to talk to you. It's very enlightening. Like every interview I do anyway, just learn something new. And that's what we're here to do, for the people to let them know what's going on in the world, you know, in our little world, our tiny part of the world, you know. Rebecca, thanks very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, and thanks for giving of your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.